You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is Pancakes and Bacon with VFL, Kyler Kurbison, and Reed Bacon.
Hello, Vol Nation. Welcome to another episode of Pancakes and Bacon. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Kurbison, joined with Reed Bacon. We've got a great one today. We are talking NFL draft. We're talking Vols in the NFL. Few guys drafted, quite a handful in free agency picked up by teams. So we're literally just talking about what does it look like for them? What are they going to have to go through once they get there? And how likely is it for them to make the team? So we get into all that. But before we touch base on all of the NFL Vols, most importantly, Reed, how we doing, bud?
Hey, brother. What's up? What's up, big fella? I know my big fella is tired.
Worn out.
Boy, been grinding. Actually grinding. Actually, not just Instagram hashtag grinding. The boy really been getting after it.
Even though I'm pretty good at that too. No, it's not. That's not what we're talking about. yeah, the house. The house has been a grind. It is, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last pod, it's a 100-year-old house. So there are things that need to be taken care of before we move in. And yeah, it's just a lot. It's a lot to, put on the shoulders. Also, you know, taking care of other people's homes at the exact same time. So trying to balance all of that. And then, yeah, just trying to get everything ready. I mean, spent Saturday and Sunday this past weekend over there. Went there twice today, meeting with framers. Probably going to go back there two nights this week after work. So, like you said, it's a grind.
Getting after it, baby. Getting after it. We didn't even say this off air. I know we had talked about it, but this is probably going to be our last pod for another little break. You know, we got to really figure out how we're going to – we haven't even talked about it. So, you guys are hearing us just talk out loud. We really got to figure out what the long-term – for this is during off seasons. You and I still very much love doing the in-season breakdown and breaking down the games. But we really appreciate, well, we more than really appreciate it. We greatly appreciate any like, any comment, any listen, any watch. And so I know for me personally, I hope to be able to do some stuff kind of on a more year-round basis with just a few little gaps. But we got to figure out what that's going to look like. And so right now we'll probably take another little break, pick back up when it gets closer to football time. We may pop in here and there at some different times, but I know that we wanted to mention that and I just forgot that. So,
yeah. Things picking up on my end with the house, it will give me a chance to kind of catch my breath. And it's also just a little bit of a dead period for football. We are very football centric, obviously. So it just gives us that chance to take a little break, you know, leave them wanting a little bit more, you know what I mean? You know,
we hope
promise over deliver kind of thing.
We hope that's the case. We hope that's the case. I forgot what I was about to say. I know what it was. You know, we could really go almost year-round when we were breaking down the recruits, like when a high school guy would recruit or would commit. We could break his thing down, talk about that. But as we've mentioned before, we aren't going to just sunshine pump. We want to be honest with what we see. And if we can't necessarily do that fully, then we're just not going to do it. And so – that's why we're not breaking down the high school dudes until they commit. And so that also makes it more difficult to go the full season or the full year. But anyways, let's jump into it. I didn't tell you this, but I wanted to ask you, and I know we've talked about it on here before. It's truly one of my favorite things just to ask you about. And that's just your experiences in football, whether it was at Tennessee or being recruited. But you went through, you know, you did your whole pro day stuff. And then you went through the draft. You had your agent, you know, you went through the undrafted phase. Go through. I'll tee you up with this. Were you anticipating on getting drafted? What did your agent say? And then after the draft went through, talk about the undrafted free agency thing for just a quick minute, and then we'll dive into these guys.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was probably going to be a long shot if I was drafted, you know, looking at the seventh round. It was most likely undrafted free agent. But, yeah, I think there was possibly the wrong agent for me at that time.
Why was that?
I, you know, ended up getting a rookie mini camp invite to Houston and to New Orleans. And I did a workout with the Pats in between that time period. So there was three teams there that I got like a chance to get in front of, which was good for me and really good learning experiences for me, like right after the draft, you know, and then eventually ended up getting signed with the Patriots right before training camp started. But I didn't go through any OTAs with the other guys. It was just the rookie mini camps. But yeah, I had come to a realization that there were connections at Tennessee that got me the looks at each place that showed interest in me. So it was like Houston, we had a guy that was literally working on staff as like a player evaluator, and he used to be a scout at Houston. We literally hired him from Houston, and he was working at Tennessee for my final year there. So Houston showed interest because he said something to them. And then Pat showed interest.
He showed interest because they were like, he's like, yo, this dude's a good ball player. You might want to take a look.
Exactly.
Okay. And then I did have a question. Why did you say you didn't feel like your first agent was good for you or whatever, a good situation for you?
I just don't think he took advantage of maybe some of the people around Tennessee, like giving me a good word and like trying to get me on a team, because I did figure out later that I got rid of my agent before training camp started. So before I went on with the Patriots, I got rid of him and changed to another agent. And so then I signed with the Pats. They ended up cutting me. And then I went down to Tampa and went and signed with them during training camp. And they cut a undrafted free agent so that they could sign me, because this guy was not doing well at all. And come to find out, he was another client. My agent got another offensive lineman that was underneath him, signed with the Tampa Bay Bucks during free agency right after the draft, even though I was there and my former offensive coordinator was the quarterback's coach at Tampa. And they were obviously, there was some interest, and I literally got signed off of them having no tape on me at the Patriots, them having no more knowledge than I had before, was literally just like, hey, we want another offensive lineman. Here's one who's available, and we know that he's good. It just made me feel like he put in more effort to get this guy signed with Tampa than he did with me. And that kind of like solidified it in my brain that like, what was he doing the last day of the draft? Like, who was he actually talking to and trying to put in a good word for me and trying to get me signed somewhere? Like, was he actually not, like, putting two and two together? So,
did he have how many other people did he have? And do you think that there was a relationship why he tried to get other dudes signed there instead of you?
I don't know if there was something. I never asked him how many other dudes he had, but I just found out that, like, that was one of them. So I'm not sure, but yeah, so it was a little hectic for me when that first happened, and trying to find a team and trying to find something. And then, you know, you go through the process and it's tough, dude. Like, you don't know when or where you're going to get a phone call. You're waiting around a lot. And then when you go, you try and take advantage of your opportunity as much as you can. But, you know, sometimes it's just not meant to be. Sometimes it's, you know, not quite there, but you know, there's always, like, little things that I go back and I'm like, man, maybe if I would have, you know, played guard more in college, or, you know, maybe if I would have started at Tampa at OTAs, like, maybe it would have been different. So it's just, I don't know. I don't like to try and, like, think about it in that way and, like, try and, like, think of, you know, oh, I have all these regrets. I'm like, you know, I enjoyed what I got a chance to do, and not a lot of people get a chance to do that. So I'm happy yeah, where I'm at right now, and I'm happy to be, you know, about 60 pounds lighter, and back and knees feel a little bit better, so that's a good part of it too.
Yeah, you made some nice cheddar. I mean, you signed and you made it through the season with the Tampa Bay Bucks, and got some really cool experiences. And you graded out as one of the highest offensive linemen during the preseason game, a couple preseason games you played. And so there was some cool stuff there. I just remember talking to you and how weird it was for you, because you're working out and then you're just chilling at home. And then you get a call, and the next thing you know, you're on a plane, and then you're going to work out, and then they're either signing you or they're not signing you. And I think you had, like, 3 weekends in a row where you did the rookie mini camps, like, back to back to back. So just wild stuff. But, you know, it's I think it's an age thing. I just don't think people understand it, like, when you're in it. Like, you know, you see all these dudes now. And all anyone ever asks for in life's an opportunity. But you see all these dudes now, and it's like, and I'm not trying to make fun of them, I almost feel bad for them in a small way. It's like every Twitter account you see, every post is like, they sleeping on me. You know, like, I'm gonna prove them wrong. You know, like, all I need is one. And it's like, I'm like, that's great. You're right. I hope the best for you. But it's like, they don't understand that they're going to go, they're going to pop around for a few teams, and then by fall, they're working a 9-to-5. And it's,
I mean, hell yeah. Like, dude, I made all SEC my last year. I won 2 SEC linemen of the weeks, like, and I made it a season. You know what I mean? It's like, these guys that had no postseason honors, who really didn't blow up any kind of stat sheet, and they're getting a little, you know, undrafted free agency, and they get signed, and they're just like, I want you to have confidence in yourself, but don't think that it's as easy as I'm here now. Yeah. I'm gonna, you know, be the best guy here. It's like, no, actually, everyone here is already better than you. You have to beat them out.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. I mean, seeing you go through it and see some other buddies go through it, it's like, you're so happy you're getting your opportunity. Then you're there on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's like, you might not ever get a call back ever again.
It's also like, in my instance, because I didn't go through OTAs, like, when I showed up at training camp, with the Pats, and then I showed up at training camp with Tampa. Like, I didn't know a soul in the entire position group already had, like, their niche of guys that they all talked together. They liked each other. They like, and it was like trying to integrate in an outsider, right? So, like, you immediately get there. It's not all, oh, yeah, great, welcome to the team. It's not like when you're a freshman in college and they're like, all right, yeah, great, welcome to the team. Like, let's get them integrated. Let's see, you know, they're going to be here for a while. This is your teammate now. No. The guys in the NFL are like, good luck, young buck. Like, don't know what's going to happen to you, but I'm not worried about it. It ain't my problem. Yeah. I'm worried about myself. And you really have to figure it out on your own. There's nobody there to help you. There's no assistant coach that's going to come up to you, be like, hey, let's go over these plays. There's no position coach that's going to spend more time on you because he sees that you're struggling with it. Nope. It's not how it happens. They don't care. Okay. They see you struggling. They'll give up on you. They'll stop coaching you. So it's just like, it's cutthroat out there, man. You are on your own.
That's the other thing about it, too, is when you're trying to make the team, there's 10 other guys or 5 other guys at your same position trying to make the team. They're not trying to help you.
No. One of the guys that we'll talk about that got, you know, signed in free agency, like sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, there's another, Tennessee player on that team. And I was just like, well, I mean, they're not going to be friends. They're competing for the same spot. Like, he didn't want him there. So yeah. It's cutthroat can be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a weird thing. And I think what's crazy about it is, you know, football ends for everybody at some point, whether they decide it or it decides for you. But I just think what's so crazy about this is you're in college and you have 3 to 4 or 5 years in college and you have those kind of almost no matter what. And then you get to the NFL and you can literally be there for a week or two and you think you're getting another call and you never get another call. Now, I don't know how these other spring leagues are doing. I haven't watched a minute of the XFL mixed with the USFL. I've always said this a million times. I love football. I'm one of the biggest sports football fans you'll ever find. I don't watch spring football. I don't like it. It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't pique my interest. And I just don't know why people keep wasting money to try to do it. But it works out very well for some guys that are trying to make it, trying to hang on, or they're not ready to move on and then go make whatever amount of money these dudes make to play a little bit longer. So at least they do have that opportunity, but it's a wild dynamic. And it's interesting because you can give that perspective.
Yeah.
As going through it. How quickly did you,
I was about to say those leagues, like it's hard to come out of those leagues into the NFL because as a team is like, oh, and search for a DB, say, right? Oh, we need a DB. They're not going to the XFL team roster first, okay? Where they go first is they look at every other team's DBs. They look at every other team's DBs that they dropped, right? They look at, like, all the guys they looked at in the draft. There was one of these guys available. Then they go to the CFL. They look at all the guys there. Like, there is such a long list of dudes that they're looking at before they look at this spring football, whatever this is. So that makes it even harder. Like, if those guys want to continue and try and put their name out there, go. I mean, do you, buddy. But you're going to have to show the F out if you want someone to be like, oh, I'm going to ignore this entire list of guys that have been on NFL teams and look to these other ones in the spring league. Like, you really got to, you got to be dominating down there.
Yeah. Yeah. How quick after the draft did you get calls? And then did you have it to where you could decide on? I can't remember if you had it to where you could decide on where you want to go.
No, didn't really have it to where I could decide. I had, because I don't know why New Orleans does this, but I think they purposely do the second weekend after the draft for their rookie minicamp so that they can have more guys there. Just because, like, most of them are all on the same weekend. So you kind of have to be like, if you did have options, okay, well, which one am I going to go to? Which one can I show myself in front of? But I think that was another reason, too. Now that I think about it, I had the option to go to Tampa, and my agent was like, let's go to Houston. This is a better fit for you. And he sent his other guy to Tampa when it's obvious that Tampa would have been a better fit for me with my previous coach being there. And Coach Bajakian. So, yeah, it was Houston, Tampa, then New Orleans. And I think New Orleans is very much like they'll invite a ton of people because they know that there are going to be a lot of guys that are available. And sometimes there aren't, right? They'll invite guys that end up getting signed at rookie mini camps when they're at the other teams. So, and the Patriots, it was just literally in between that those two weekends that they called and were like, hey, can you come up for a workout on a Wednesday? Literally flew up there Tuesday night, didn't really get any sleep. And then just a workout Wednesday morning. They were like, all right, thanks. Like, we'll be in touch, and sent me back. And like, that was it until I get a phone call, as I am sitting on, as I'm sitting in the lobby of my honeymoon resort, waiting for the shuttle to take me back to the airport for my agent. It's like, hey, you're going to New England. Where are you right now? And I was like, I'm in Mexico, but I get back to the States and we'll be back in Knoxville the next day. And he was like, all right, we're going to get you a flight and you're going to New England. So I was like, okay. And they just made sure they wanted to do a conditioning test with me before they signed. And it was like, I don't know, like 10, 55 yard runs, and they were like 8 or 7 seconds. Like, it was like easy. I was like, okay, sure. Right after honeymoon, where I worked out one time for a 10-day honeymoon, I was like, all right, I'm good. Like, I still got this. That was always something I was pretty good at, is conditioning. Like, never really struggled, even did really well at Tennessee too. But yeah. And then it was like, all right, you're signed.
They're just making sure dudes are not just completely worthless, basically.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not a complete, utter waste of time. Okay. NFL draft. I, as a Titans fan, we're not talking that today. I know that there was some people upset with it. I'm happy with what the Titans do, or what the Titans did. And I'm excited to talk to you off air about it, and just hear your thoughts, and maybe even ask you to watch J.C. Latham, just to tell me what your thoughts are.
I know. I thought about it. I haven't really watched any film on him, but I mean, I remember watching him a tad bit just with us playing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a massive, giant human being. He does have good footwork. Like, there's a reason he's drafted in the first round, and it was what the Titans needed. They couldn't get Joe Alt. I probably would have picked Joe Alt over him, but since he got picked earlier, it's like, hey, okay. I'm glad they didn't do something stupid like pick another position. Literally any other position I would have been upset about.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that off air. I don't want to do that on here with the Tennessee stuff, but I will say this. I'm a competitive person, and so I do like to try to toot my own horn when I'm right, because I get fired up about it. But the reason that I allow myself to do it is because I will openly admit when I'm wrong and I have misses, and I miss all the time. I miss wrong all the time. But like you got, it's a small little bit of competitiveness I've got. I mean, whether I'm playing golf, pickup sports, Xbox, I mean, now it's like, I want to be competitive on, did I call this one right? Did I call this one wrong or whatever?
Makes things fun.
I called you. Unfortunately, it bothers me. I do not remember if it was like October, November, December, maybe January. I don't know. But I remember exactly where I was. And I remember the time of day, the business I was pulling out of in Farragut after making a stop there for work. And I get in the car and I'm listening to Sports Animal, and they have Kevin Simon on the radio, which you and I both really, really like Kevin Simon. We have built a relationship with him over the years for different reasons. But they have him on there, and he is a scout. He was a scout. I mean, he was in the NFL for, I don't even know how long, 7, 8, 9 years maybe. Who knows? Was a scout, area scout, regional scout, whatever. And they have him on there, and he literally says that he can see Jalen Wright going middle to late first round. And I sat there, I said, no way. And I was like, but am I crazy? Like, am I miss something? This dude like has done this for his job. I was like, but I don't see it. And I called you immediately yeah. called you. And I don't even know if you remember this conversation. I was like, there's no way Jalen Wright goes first round. I said, I'll be shocked. I will be absolutely shocked. And once again, it is like when we would even talk about Jabari and how we felt like he was just as good at times, and going into this year, maybe we felt better about him with pass protection and holding on to the rock, all that stuff. It was never, ever, ever a knock on Jalen. We love the way Jalen runs. We love how hard he runs. His balance and his ability to break tackles and to keep going, and like he stepped up in some meaningful games. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that the highlight run against Georgia was awesome, and that's something we'll all remember. But we lost that game. I remember more of like the Texas A&M game or the Kentucky game where dude is just like balling. And I know Dylan Sampson came on late in the Kentucky game. But there was just some of these moments where Jalen was really, really good. But I never, ever, ever saw him. And it ties back into what we've talked about with Heupel's offense. Heupel's offense is really good with above average players. And I hope that we get to see Josh Heupel's offense with elite talent. And I think that's where it will be an absolute problem, issue, nightmare for everyone in college sports, except for maybe three teams. If we get that same talent. So anyways, Jalen, you know, running backs is definitely not what it used to be. But if there's a blue chip guy, you'll see where they'll still go first round. Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson. And so Jalen going to the fourth round was like,
yeah,
that doesn't surprise me at all. Now, maybe it only surprised me a little bit because people that supposedly know what they're talking about said he would maybe be a third rounder. Dude wasn't even the first one off the board. And I say all that to say, he got so lucky because I feel like he went to one of the best spots he could have gone to. And this is a different conversation for a different time, but I would love to sit in a room with about 25 dudes that were coaches, GM, scouts, players, whatever, and be like, why do you think guys fail in the NFL? Is it more of them being lazy, them not putting in the time, them mentally not picking it up, or is it they're just not as good as we thought they were in college and they can't match the level of competition in the NFL? I don't know. It always intrigues me. I say all that to say, I think fit does really matter to help. Like, there's guys that you can send them anywhere and they're going to be good, but there's also guys that, in my opinion, if you send them one place, they're going to be pretty good. If you send them somewhere else, they might be out of the league in a couple of years. But I feel like when I saw Jalen going to Miami – that I felt like it was perfect for him. And I don't know what you think about where he was selected, the whole Kevin Simon talk that we talked about. People talk about him going first or second round, him as a prospect. Just kind of, I wanted to open up the door for you.
Yeah, I mean, I agreed with you whenever you called me about that. I never saw Jalen as a first round running back. I mean, like, we're not talking about Jamal Lewis here. Like, we're not talking about the elite running backs that have come through Tennessee. Like, I really like Jalen. I like the way that he ran the ball this past year. I like some of the things he did, but I remember for 2 years being like, Jalen Wright isn't RB1. He's not going to be RB1. Jabari Small is RB1. Like, I remember for 2 years straight being like, this guy really struggles holding on to the ball. This guy struggles with pass protection. He needs to get better at that. He got a lot better right before this past year, okay, and was able to take advantage of the growth that he worked hard at, okay? I know he worked hard at it. I know he grew his game. You know, I think he might have had one fumble this past year when that was, like, something that was over his shoulder pretty much the years before. But like you said, like, no one was like, oh, here's another Jahmyr Gibbs. Here's another Bijan Robinson. No, like, I really thought a first-round grade is way too high for him. I think third to fourth is perfectly fine. I would agree with you that a high-octane, very inventive offense is exactly what Jalen Wright succeeded in this past year, and it's where he's going this year. Mike McDaniels is all about coming up with new things, new ways where he can get his guys into position to make plays. And that helps Jalen a lot. I think when you really start to try and think about what kind of plays would Mike McDaniels draw up so that Jalen Wright could have success, there's not a lot that come to mind where I'm like, you know what? If they got him in a screen, that would be really great for him. If they got him in a, you know, sweep, that would be really great for him. If they got him in a outside zone, that would be – like, I'm trying to, like, go down the list. And what's coming to mind for me is give me an inside zone downhill, give me a counter downhill, and Jalen can take it the distance. He can outrun those guys and be able to split the difference between safeties if they, you know, come up too close. Does that mean that he's going to take a screen pass 88 yards? I don't know. Does that mean he can take a sweep around the edge and take it to the house? I don't know, because I don't feel like we saw a lot of that stuff from Jalen. I feel like a lot of his big splash plays were in between the tackles where he was running.
I think the reason I think it's great is because they'll run him on some of those inside zones, some counters. I think off tackle could be really good for him. But you have Raheem Mostert, who was pretty much a one-hit wonder where he had a couple games with San Francisco 49ers, and then they bring him in because he's a speed demon. And his stats are okay rushing it. He got a lot of pub because he had like 20 million touchdowns because they would hand him the rock in the red zone.
Yeah.
But coming out of college, Raheem played against one of our good buddies, Tyler. Raheem was at Purdue. I mean, no one really knew who he was. Like, he didn't do anything hardly impressive at all. He was a speed guy, and he was able to stay around in the league because of his speed. So it's like Jalen's a better football player as entering the NFL than Raheem Mostert is. Not even close. One's a fourth round.
And what helps Jalen is, like, Miami traded up to go get Jalen.
Let me finish. So I'm just looking at the roster, and if Raheem Mostert is supposedly their starter, he's in a much better position than Raheem Mostert was when he came in the league. Okay? Then you got Devon Achane, Texas A&M, another speed demon guy who was really, really good. They both have had injury histories with Raheem and Devin, but they're both speed guys. Mike will pound it. He will give somebody 13 to 15 carries, 16, 17 carries, which I know that might not be a Titans pounding of 30 handoffs to Derrick Henry, but in the NFL that we live now, if you get 15 touches on a handoff, like, that's kind of considered pounding the rock, in my opinion. Then you got Jeff Wilson Jr., which, if I'm not mistaken, was another guy that he brought from San Francisco. So, needless to say, the opportunities he's going to get, the people that are there, and the style of running that Mike will put him in, I think he has a chance to be pretty good. And I could see him making a little splash as a rookie. I really do. I mean,
yeah.
Only thing Raheem and Devin have on him is time and experience. That's it. Coming in the league. But other than that, I think it couldn't have been a better spot. You make a great point. Trading up for him, that means they're invested in him. That means they really like him. And yeah. As long as he holds on to the rock and does pass protection, the other stuff will take care of itself, because the guy runs really, really hard, and I'm happy for him. The next most important one to talk about is Kamal Haddon. I don't think he could have gone to a better place as well. Two dudes in a row. You go to Kansas City, where they have hit so well on corners over the past couple of years, starting back with Charchandrick, whatever his name was, his first name, West. And he was a guy they drafted, did good. They didn't sign him. They let him walk. He's still a pretty good player. They bring in our guy, LJ, Legarius Sneed, who's now a Tennessee Titan, who I love. And that's why I was totally fine with the Titans paying him whatever he wants, because I love his attitude. I love how he plays. He's a great corner. But then they also have Trent McDuffie, who they drafted, good young player, Jalen Watson, and then they have Joshua Williams, good young player. And on ESPN right now, I don't know why it says this, but they already have Kamal Haddon on the two deep for them. And so it's like, you go to a place that's done a really good job of producing people, or producing corners. You got a great defensive coordinator there. And it's like, Kamal, if you are the man-to-man coverage that we've seen, because Steve Spagnuolo likes to bring all those blitzes. He likes for guys to man up. If you can man up the way that we've seen it, if you can play in zone and make plays on the ball like we've seen it, and if you can be physical and make tackles like we have seen it, and get rid of the times where you decide not to tackle, where you make bonehead decisions, it's very much like it is very much feast or famine. I could see Kamal being really, really good, and then I could see a couple boneheaded plays, and these guys are like, "Hoof, is this idiot? Like, we're done. Like, we can't have a guy miss assignments, not tackling, whatever the case may be." So,
and it's like the culture that's there too is just like, you're in a winning environment, a winning culture. They're, you know, 2-time Super Bowl champs the past 2 years. It's like, positive vibes all over the place can help so much. Like, going to a team that has just been down in the dumps for a very long time can almost be really detrimental. I mean, just think about how many guys get signed in free agency, get drafted to a team, and then the head coach gets fired that year, right? And they're like, holy crap, I don't even know who I'm supposed to be, like, showing that I can play, right? I don't even know who is the one that I'm supposed to be, like, showing out for. Like, how am I supposed to get up in this place? And then our team's really going to come get me out of this quote-unquote dumpster fire that's happening, right? When a coach gets fired and they're trying to figure out everything and everybody's losing all the time. It's like, you know, some guys just get screwed over with that coming about, you know, that happening to the team. And the Chiefs are in such a great foundational place to be like, hey, guess what? Even if you do mess up, we got Patty Holmes on the other side. He can fix it, right? He's going to be okay. I mean, I'm sure it felt the same way when guys were getting drafted to New England or getting drafted to the Colts. Or, you know, whenever those guys were winning a lot, that it was just like, oh, well, this is going to be great. Like, I know that I'm still gonna have to work my butt off, but like I'm not in a depressing place.
I think it's a great point because in sports, well, I guess sports and business, you always hear, I got my guys. That coach has his guys. He brought them in. He didn't bring those guys in. So you're right. You go to a situation and you're a fifth rounder or sixth rounder or whatever, and you're there for a year and you feel like you got a chance to really learn, make some plays, and then grow into your second year. Well, guess what? If your coach gets blown out after your first year and then they bring someone whole new in, getting lost in the sauce, baby, is a tough spot to be. So I think that's a great point for you because we know Andy Reid's not going anywhere. We know the Chiefs aren't going to be in a bad spot. So anyways, we'll go to New England. There's nothing to talk about with Joe Milton. I mean, the guy's not an NFL quarterback. I don't even think he's a backup. I think if somehow that guy was able to stay on a team as a third quarterback or a practice round and somehow eventually work his way up to a backup, I think that would be an incredible career for him. And I'm not trying to be
dude, I disagree with you. I think he is going to be a perennial backup quarterback. Joe Milton screams to me. He screams to me a guy who's in the NFL, never plays a snap, but he's on a team. He's on teams bouncing around for 10 years. Never plays a snap, but he's really always the backup. They bring him in. He's smart enough to understand the offense. He does really well in practice. Coaches like what they see in practice. He doesn't get hit. He gets to throw the ball deep. They like the athleticism. It's one of the reasons why that first year he's here, he was the starter over Hendon at the beginning of the season. Okay. I think that kind of leans in, like not having to play and getting to just practice leans perfectly into who Joe Milton is.
Wow.
And that's where I'm at, where it's just like, what a position to be in as a backup quarterback, that teams just want a guy who can support the starter like Joe did with Hendon. He's already have experience with it, who can have a good positive attitude, who can understand an offense, who can give the defense a good look at practice. It's like Joe is that perfect, just little backup quarterback for you just in case he never gets the chance to play. I mean, how many backup quarterbacks are in the NFL that you have no idea who they are? You literally never saw them play.
Kyler, that's a great point. That's a great point. I still will disagree with you, but I think it's a great point. And it reminded me of the fact that I was wrong about Kevin Durant. I looked it up after that, and I forgot to bring it back up. I cannot believe that Kevin Durant listed it at 240. But when I was when we got off the pod the last time I looked that up, I was like, wow, like I don't know why I didn't trust you. I just thought maybe you looked at Giannis
It seems wild. It seems wild.
Anyways, the reason now let me clarify before I prove you wrong. You're saying you think he's the legit number two for a while.
No, I think there's a difference between like a team that's like, I'm looking for my legit number two. A team that's like, I'm looking for the guy to sit there, right?
Gotcha.
Were the Colts looking for a legit number two when Peyton was there? No.
No, they had Jim Sorgi and a bunch of other dudes.
Yeah, okay. They're just
I will maybe agree with that, but I thought you meant like he might be a legit number two. That dude will never be a legit number two because if he does, he'll get preseason snaps, but if he ever has to get in a meaningful NFL game, if he has a bright spot, it will literally be one or two plays, and then he'll get some extended time for a couple of drives here and there, and it'll end in a disaster. I firmly believe that he'll throw a pick, he'll turn it over, he won't let it go. I could see him getting in a game and like truck sticking one dude for like 5 yards and everyone poops their pants, but it's like, so I disagree. He will never be an important backup. He might get, like you're saying, he might get lucky and just go somewhere that has a really good backup and he's like second or third string, but he's never going to have to play. I'll give you that, but if he ever has to be in a game and show meaningful snaps, then it's done. It's over. The other thing is, too, He's going to New England, which is a disaster because it's, I mean, they got Jacoby Brissett. They just drafted Drake May and then Bailey Zappi. I see them. There's no way that he beats out. Well, he's definitely not beating out Drake May because they just drafted him. He's not going to beat out.
Maybe Bailey Zappi. I don't know.
No, no. I don't think so. I think Bailey Zappi's had too many decent moments in the NFL that they're like, the only reason like maybe Bailey Zappi gets traded for somewhere, because I could see people wanting him as a legit number two, and then they're like, oh, F it. We'll just keep Joe as number three. But a lot of these teams also don't keep three on the roster. I mean, so maybe he's a practice squad guy. But I also heard finally someone asked or someone said, and everyone's talked about it, like, let him play another position. And he's like, yeah, that's never going to happen. In a way, I feel like sometimes you do have to, quote unquote, burn the ships to be successful. And so he's like, I'm all in at quarterback. But then I look at it as a guy who's 6'1 and, you know, 220, 230. And it's just like, well, if I had his size and athleticism, I wouldn't be an idiot. And I would go play H-back or D-end or tight end or whatever. But that's what we talked about in the last pod. These athletes, not even these guys, but just athletes in general, we have such a bloated confidence and ego about ourselves, and sometimes that's what makes people great. But it's almost like if we could get Joe in a room and be like, hey, buddy, slap you on the back. Like, I know playing quarterback's fun, and I know it's easy because you never have to get hit in practice. It's more mentally draining than anything, but, like, guy, you ain't got it. So if you actually want to maybe make it in the NFL and maybe make a chance, you better start learning another position. And then it would just come into the fact of, like, it's too late. Like, you can't just learn another position on the fly. So I would hear those arguments too. But it's just, like, it's just a shame that you see a guy with that size, speed, and ability, and I just think he's soft as baby shit, and so he just wouldn't be good in another position. So,
yeah, I mean, that conversation needs to happen in high school. It's way too late for that now.
Or college. It could have happened in college.
Maybe. I mean, you're bringing a tight end down to O-line. I get it. Maybe a D tackle over to, offensive guard. Yeah.
Blake Bell.
A tight end to wide receiver to tight end. Something like that. Running back to fullback makes sense. Yeah, but
In college, Ryan Tannehill went from a wide receiver to a quarterback. That Matt Jones guy went from a quarterback to a receiver at Arkansas. And then you had Blake Bell, the Belldozer for Oklahoma, was a quarterback for a couple years, went to tight ends, did decently well. Trey Burton from Florida. So it happens more often than not in college. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just me and everyone else. It's like, wow, I wish I had his size, speed, and athletic ability, because I wouldn't be wasting it at a quarterback when I can't process. But anyways, to stay on the Patriots, our guy, Jacob Warren's getting to go there, getting an opportunity there. I think it's a good place to get an opportunity with probably and potentially the style of football they're going to play, because obviously they use tight ends now. Belichick's gone, Ball for Life, one of my favorite players ever, Jerod Mayo's there. I don't know how he's going to run things, but you got Hunter Henry, good player on the team. You got Austin Hooper, pretty darn good pro, meaning like he's been around the league for a while. He's been able to carve himself a nice little career. And then after that, I don't know who Mitchell Wilcox is and Jaheim Bell. And it's like Jacob's probably going to have to make the team as a special teamer. The new kickoff rule does not help. Maybe tight ends and linebackers are going to be out there more than when they had like D ends or outside linebackers or corners. I don't know. Maybe that will help him a little bit. But I think it's a good spot for him in the fact that they probably use tight ends. But I just don't know how I feel about him making that team. I don't know what you think either.
Well, I think one thing that hurts him is that Jeremiah Bell was drafted in the 7th round. And it's just like it gives a little bit more of a leash to a guy that's drafted than not. You spent
it was only 7th though.
Yeah, you spent a little bit more money on him, so you're like want him to work out a little bit more than the other one. So that part kind of stinks. I mean, it does. Like when I saw that Joe went there and then saw that Jacob went there, I was like, shout out Jerod, like appreciate you, bud. Like always looking for the VFLs because it very much felt like Joe was not needed for them. They They've got a guy who's been there for a while, but he's happy. They've got their future coming in, and they got a consistent dude in Jacoby Brissett. It felt like Gerard was just kind of like, I like the guy, and he's the ball. Like, I'll take him, you know? I think the Patriots are such a new franchise now because of where they're at. Like, this is a completely new team. This is not going to be the same old Patriots. That I'm not sure what to expect. Like, I don't know, you know, how they're going to go about this. You look at the past and the success they've had. It's like, this is going to be completely different. I don't know how much they're going to use tight ends. They used them like crazy for a few years with Brady there, but it's like, that's everything's different from when that happened. So,
yeah.
I love Jacob. I think he has skill at both receiving and at blocking. So he's got the size for it too. Like, I have a lot of faith in him, and I don't know if it's, you know, bias with Jacob, but like, I am rooting for him so damn hard.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm rooting for him big time. And if it doesn't work out, which I hope it does in the NFL, then whatever that guy does is going to be awesome. Aaron Beasley, one of my favorite Vols from, you know, what he did. I think he got the most out of his potential. I don't see there's any way that he makes it in the NFL just with his size and speed. You know, and that sounds terrible to say it. I mean, he was such an instinctive player, but I just don't see it physically. And then, you know, Seattle's got – the one thing is Seattle plays a 3-4 is what they have listed here, which so many of these people play multiple Ds anyways. But I don't recognize a lot of these names on their linebacking core. I know they got two of them. Ussini, I know Ussini's a good player. He's one of their outside linebackers. So, really, their inside, like, they got Jerome Baker they signed. Terrell Dotson's not bad. But, like, I just don't see it. Seattle's a pretty good organization. So, I think they'll give him
an opportunity. Defensive head coach. Like, yeah. I mean, it's – they've been known for the defense since Pete Carroll got there. That kind of leans towards like, hey, if you want to be on a team, it's like be a defensive player on this team. I like Aaron Beasley a lot. Like you said, like, you know, one of your favorites. He's very instinctive. His size doesn't help, but I definitely think Aaron is one of those guys who could be a special teamer for a while, who could do really well on the kickoffs, on the punts.
Jalen Reese-Maybin, great player at Tennessee, has done a really, really nice job in the NFL. And you would think those are the comps, but I don't think he's got the speed that J-May had. What do you think? You play with J-May. I don't remember.
Yeah. I did compare Aaron to Jalen. I don't know if he's quite as fast. Yeah. I don't know if Aaron is quite as fast as he is. And, you know, the niche that he has made for himself in Detroit is incredible. I mean, just a special teams workhorse, and then got into the two and then the starting lineup, and then became a captain on the team. Like, he has done so much for himself, and it was kind of the same way when he was at Tennessee. Like, he was just dying to get on the field his first couple of years, and it was like, if I can get on the field on special teams, then I'll freaking do it. And he has that huge block versus Georgia, punt block, and it's like he just keeps making plays when he can. Yeah. But, you know, all of these guys that signed in free agency, like, it is a uphill battle. It is going to be very difficult for them to make the team.
Yeah. Cool story for as we continue to work through them. Gabe, it's really cool. He was from Nashville, started in Nashville. He gets signed by the Titans. And I liked how Gabe played for Tennessee. I thought he did decently well this year as a corner. No way he makes the team. I don't see him as an NFL player, but it's not going to happen with the Titans. Our secondary is loaded, and they already have a ton of people that they're trying to maybe save for special teams and nickels and all that. So he's not making that team. Jabari Small's there. Cool for him to get that chance. I actually would see a better chance for Jabari to make the team than Gabe, but you guys.
Maybe, and I just worry about Jabari staying healthy too.
Yeah, agreed. But just like actual play, I would see he had a better chance than Gabe. But, you know, you got Tony Pollard, you got Tajay Spears. You know, I mean, I think it does hurt Jabari that he's not going to be able to probably play special teams. But anyway, still a cool story for him. Jeremiah Crawford went to Carolina. Carolina's an absolute disaster. That's brutal.
I know. David Tepper, like that whole program. That's one of the things, like, on the other side of the Chiefs, where it's like Carolina, it's like a place they don't know what they're doing. They got fleeced in the Bryce Young trade. Like, and then I was thinking about it, and I'm like, oh yeah, who else is there? Cade Mays is there. He's not going to help you, bud. Sorry about it, but you're fighting for the same position. He's not helping you. So yeah. It's and just Cade, like
Cade physically is so much.
I mean, we saw it. Every Tennessee fan has seen it. They saw Cade the way he played, and they saw Jeremiah the way he played. Like, everyone knows that Cade was a better player.
Yeah. Who else did we have on there that I'm missing? Oh, Callie.
McCallum Castles to the Eagles.
I think that's nice. I do think that with his athletic ability and his traits and how they use tight ends, I think he could be a special teamer. I think that one has a decent shot. I really do. I need to I know they had Dallas Goedert. Yep. I don't know. I'm gonna look who else they have. I like that.
I don't know if the Eagles, it just kind of felt like we don't necessarily need a tight end, but let's just grab a guy kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, bro, I kind of like it there because they use a lot of tight ends. Dallas Goedert's had a kind of a difficult time staying healthy. Let me go here and look at this depth chart on tight ends to see who they have. Yeah, Dallas Goedert, CJ Uzma, pretty good player. He's been around the league for a while. But then they have a Grant, Kateria, and an Albert something. I don't know. They already have McCallum Castle listed on here. So there's four ahead of him. Dallas is on, and obviously they can. I think Cali's got a chance. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we look up and the guy's been in the league for a couple of years. You know, so I like I said, I like that fit for him because they use tight ends a good amount, and he would be getting to do exactly what he was doing at Tennessee. So I don't know about what you think though for him.
Yeah, I mean, their offense, the way it works, it's not exactly like ours, but play action passes is a big thing with the Eagles, and you know, getting a pop pass to a tight end over the middle, like Castles fits that. He can do that. So yeah, I think it works for his skill set. We'll say that.
That's what I'm saying.
Don't know,
I mean,
how likely. Yeah.
I mean, even like him playing the H-back and him coming in motion and making blocks, they do that crap all the time with whether it's a handoff or, you know, read option or some sort of zone play. So I don't know. I like that one. Who else am I missing that got signed?
Ramel Keaton to the Raiders.
I mean, yeah, I forgot about that one. I saw that one. I don't think Ramel's an NFL guy, but that's a good spot to go to with really an aging Devontae Adams is really their only wide receiver.
Yeah, you got D. Williams to Seattle, which I mean he can make a little niche as a return specialist.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he could. And they've got
I wouldn't be surprised.
I agree. And Pete Carroll's not there anymore, but they were always pretty good on special teams too. I almost feel like if Pete was still there, that the D would be like a guy he would love as like a returner or whatever. So
yeah. And then I think last one, Jalen McCullough to the Rams.
Yeah, he's not I don't see him as an NFL guy either, but I think that's also a decent spot for him. I think that's a place where he could go there and potentially maybe make a little noise in their secondary. But I just don't think
it's going to be tough. Those taxes and then housing market over there are going to be real tough for the boy.
Yeah, not fun. Not fun.
Not fun.
But you basically sign what you get. I think I saw you basically get like 10 G's sign in, and they'll give you like another 25 for whatever, which is obviously great money for just average life living 9 to 5. But and you get that to go do whatever else until they cut you. But yeah, you're right. If you make it out there, it's not fun.
No. And a fun thing that many people might not know about is your check that you receive is based off of where you played the game. So if you play an LA team and you're from a Texas team, your check's going to be smaller that week because you played in LA. You played in California. It is taxed California taxes, not Texas taxes. So not everybody realizes that. And it is very much like, I don't know if I ever want to be on a California team because even if you do sign a major contract, you're making less than other guys.
Can you imagine playing a Cal, like being like, the Rams, and then it's like, oh, okay, one away game. Oh, it's the Chargers. It's like, oh, another away game.
You know, San Francisco. Like, damn it. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you get for living out in Freak Show, California.
All right, brother.
See you, big dog.
We'll see you later.
Talk soon.
Yep. Okay. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. If you are watching, please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, leave a comment. Love the comments. If you're just listening, rate and review, download and re-download. Follow us on all those listening platforms. Also follow us on social media at Pancakes and Bacon for our main account on Twitter, at Pancakes and Bacon _RTI on Instagram. If you want to follow Reed, it is just at rbacon26 on Twitter for him. And then it's at Kyler Kurbison for myself on all social medias. So check me out there. And really appreciate you guys. We're going to be taking a little break until football kicks back up. But thank you for always being the most supportive fans that we could have. And as always, go Vols.